Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Father Narek from St. Sarkis Church with a new episode of the podcast. Let us start our program with a prayer from the prayers of the Armenian Church. Lord, in your mercy, you heal our broken souls and bodies. Heal all the physical and mental illnesses of your servants. For we look to you, God, to have mercy on us and to save us. And we offer glory to you, the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and always, and forever and ever. Amen. Today's program is sponsored by the Young Adults Bible Study Group of St. Sarkis Church. I hope all my listeners are doing well. I want to talk about my weekend. I hope you had a good weekend. My weekend was awesome. We had two very good and very important events happening this past Sunday. The first was a lecture by Molly Sullivan from the Historical Society of the Near East Relief Foundation. The lecture was about all the efforts that the Near East Foundation had to save Armenian orphans right after the Armenian Genocide. I was amazed by the amount of information that Molly provided in the hour-long lecture that she presented. And I want to focus on two main points of her lecture. First, Molly presented how Americans got concerned about what was happening in the Middle East, and especially to the Christian Armenians, and how they started to collect funds to help the suffering Armenians in the Middle East. That was something that I personally had no knowledge about. And the second aspect of her lecture was about the life of the Armenian orphans. Basically, she presented every orphanage that was established by the Near East Foundation, and she presented all details of the life of the orphans, including what they ate, how they lived. And after the lecture, when I asked our church members who were present about their opinion, everyone was overwhelmed by the knowledge and the information that Molly provided in her lecture. So if she is listening, I would like to wholeheartedly thank her again. It was a very meaningful way for us, St. Sarkis Church, to start the commemorative events of the centennial of the Armenian Genocide. And I would like to take a moment to also thank Anahit Ugurlian for her help in organizing this event. So remember, in the past number of episodes, I've been asking, how are you going to celebrate or commemorate the genocide? Well, I've been asking that same question to myself, and I'm preparing a list for myself. My goal is to have 100 items on that list. and it looks like I have a number of items already. So I did a few things that I would like to share with my listeners. Number one, I interviewed Hrant Markaryan and we got the information on his book, which he will soon present in the Armenian Center and then here at St. Sarkis Church. Number two, I interviewed Anush Baghdasaryan, who spoke about her play. On Sunday, I attended this lecture here by Molly Sullivan. Last week, we spoke to the youth club members about the genocide. Tuesday evening, I attend the candlelight vigil for Hrant Dink in Manhattan. However, the most interesting thing that I did on my list is that I discovered a song named Armenian Genocide and I shared that on my Facebook. It's a very interesting genre. It's psychedelic music. I don't even know what that means. It takes 20 minutes. The length of the song is 20 minutes, but the lyrics, the words are so powerful because the writer of the song is putting himself in the shoes of someone who actually has gone through the sufferings of the genocide. And it is very, very powerful. I don't know who the singer is. He goes by the name Julian Pope, but what he did, especially with the lyrics, is very powerful. So I have 6 items on my list, and I believe that number 7 will be this Sunday's movie presentation that St. Sarkis Church Men's Club is hosting on the 40 days of Musadar, and I invite everyone to join us to watch this movie. Once again, it's this Sunday, January 25th, following church services. Following the Near East Foundation's lecture, we had a Bible study session with the young adults. And today I am joined by Seta Megarian, our youth program director, and my producer, Greg Doser, who were present for the Bible study session. Hi, Seta. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Dermatic.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Seta, you were part of the original Bible study group. Tell us a bit about our group. Tell our listeners about the Bible study for young adults at St. Sarkis Church.
I'd be glad to. 10 years ago, you and Yeretskin approached my husband and I, who were newly married, and said, "We have this great team, come join our group." You know, we were studying the Bible, and my husband and I thought it was a great idea. So one Tuesday night, we both grabbed our Bible and we came to church, and we found a great team of young adults, just like us, who were studying the Bible, something that we had never done as a couple. And it really brought us closer together. It brought us closer to our church. And we established a whole new set of friends, who I'm so happy to say we're still friends today. Together, we took part in a lot of church activities. We organized a group that created a Valentine's Day dance in our 7th year now. Our children are friends, and we're just so happy to be part of this group, and we're so happy that it's back.
Yes, we used to have Bible study every Tuesday evening. The nice thing about it was that we would study the Word of God, and then after that we would socialize. And it helped us to create a very strong bond. And there was a point that we had over 40 people participating. We decided to restart and to reconvene with a different format to have Bible study once a month. And to have the kids also, for those who have kids, to be present and to have a babysitter supervising and watching the kids while we do the Bible study. Greg, it was your first experience with us. Tell us how it felt.
It felt really good to be part of a communal element to our church, especially around a topic that really has to do with the foundation of our religion. Studying the Bible in a introductory type fashion really got me acquainted to a book that I never truly picked up and read. And it was nice to be around like new faces and faces who were maybe more experienced with the book itself. And, you know, it was just a great way to bond.
So what I did was, actually, I went and I wanted to do a general introduction, not to scare people, to invite people. And it was really received very well because people were comfortable sharing about what they knew or the things that they thought that they knew about the Bible. And after that, I want to demonstrate how an actual Bible study would look like. And for that reason, I picked a reading from the Gospel of Luke, and we did the reading, and then we tried to talk about the characters that were in that parable. And then we tried to do some exegesis, trying to know what the church fathers had to say about that particular reading. And then one thing that I really like about doing Bible study is to find out what are the implications of that text in our lives. What is the reader gonna take home with them? And that was to showcase how future Bible study sessions would look like. And I think we did a fantastic job. People are interested. And in this podcast, I would like to invite people. If reading the Bible is not something that you've done in the past, I want us come to church and try to study the Bible together. See, as a part of the Orthodox Church, we have a great veneration to the Bible. We kiss the Bible, we venerate the Word of God, but sometimes we don't know what the Word of God is. And it's never too late to try to learn about the Word of God. So that you mentioned about the group and that there's a bond, and that group has been organizing various events, some charitable events also in the past. But the highlight of those events had been the Valentine's dinner dance. Tell us about what are we planning for this year's Valentine's party.
This year, like years in the past, we're planning a great event. It's going to be on February 7th with Kevork Artinyan and his band. And we look forward to seeing all of you guys there. If you haven't booked a ticket, make a reservation today.
Today I will be chatting with Dr. Vasken Rugasyan, the Executive Director of the Armenian Prelacy. Dr. Rugasyan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Derhaish.
We know that the Armenian Prelacy has an orphan program. Can you tell us about the orphan program? Why do we have an orphan program by the Armenian Prelacy?
The charitable work of the Armenian Prelacy in Armenia started in the aftermath of the tragic earthquake of Gyumri in December 1988. And for the first 4 years, the prelacy was able to sponsor different programs and accomplish different projects in Armenia at a total cost of almost $4 million.
$4 million in 4 years?
Yeah. But in 1993, at the height of the Karabakh War, when hundreds and even thousands of Armenian freedom fighters gave their life for the defense of Armenia and Artsakh, at that time, the late Archbishop Mesrop Ashyan of blessed memory, among other things, took the initiative of starting a program to help the orphaned children of the freedom fighters who had given their life. And that's how it started. And for that purpose, an office was established, and Medzen Nerses Paresiragan Gazma Gerbutyun, Nerses the Great Charitable Organization. The idea was to secure individual sponsors in America to help the families and basically the orphans of those families who had lost their fathers. Any child, any orphan, from newborns up to 18 years old would be able to benefit from this program. Those children were identified as orphans or children of martyrs through the records of the Defense Ministry of Armenia.
So you're saying that we started with the earthquake, the tragedy of the earthquake, the aftermath of that, and then we made a transition because of the Artsakh freedom fight, and we started to take care of the children of those who lost their lives. And now we started to work with the defense minister. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, in order to identify and be sure the child is the child of a freedom fighter and there is no cheating, so we had to have that certified to begin with.
So how this initiative was received here in the United States?
I would say it was very much appealing to our people in general. This program for the orphans, which started in June 1993, is continuing. And so far, a little more than 2,000 orphans have benefited from this program.
That's a big number.
Yes. Well, there were times when we had from 750 to 800 orphans enrolled at one time. Currently, the number of orphans benefiting from this program is 476, to be exact. And during all these years, we had almost 700 sponsors, and our current number of sponsors is 274.
Very good. Let me ask you, what are some of the services that the Prelacy has provided or still provides through the Nurses the Great charitable organization in Armenia?
Now, these orphans receive a bi-monthly stipend in money. Normally, these orphans are not living in orphanages. They live with the family. Most of them have lost their fathers, but the mother is alive, and their living conditions are very, very poor. Now, as I said, initially we started this program to help the children of the martyrs. But since 1993, most of those children are grown up now because the limit is up to 18 years old.
Okay.
In recent years, we have started to recruit orphans through the Ministry of Social Affairs. Currently in Armenia, there are approximately 2,000 orphans who have no father, no mother. And there are an additional of 25,000 children who have lost either a father or a mother. Now, for many years, we had a waiting list. I'm glad to say that we have almost finished sponsoring the children of the martyred freedom fighters, and now most of the orphans that are enrolled in our program are orphans at large.
So besides the monetary contributions, how else do we help the orphans? What kind of services do we provide to the orphans in Armenia?
Throughout the years, through our general charitable program in Armenia, we were able to secure charitable donations in the United States and have those things, those goods transported in containers or air flights through the United Armenian Fund. And these charitable goods included food, clothing, medical supplies, medical equipment, and so on and so forth. Only to give you an example, during the past 1 year, through AmeriCares, we have received from Tom's Shoes approximately 40,000 pairs of winter boots and summer shoes. In addition to that, again, through the AmeriCares, we have received and distributed in Armenia more than 20 tons of what is called Vitamil. That's a mixture of grounded rice and lentil enriched with more than 25 kinds of vitamins, very nutritional. Those kinds of goods are distributed to the orphans and the needy population at large in all the regions of Armenia and Artsakh.
And our charitable organization, Medzen Nerses, or Nerses the Great, supervises on distributing these goods, I'm assuming.
Medzen Nerses, charitable organization, which is our office in Armenia, we have there four staff members, very dedicated, very dependable, and they implement everything, the distribution, reporting back to the donor agencies, reporting to the government agencies. So they do very professional work.
You mentioned that we have approximately 275 sponsors. Tell us, what does it take for a person to become an orphan sponsor?
Initially, when we started this program, the annual contribution of the sponsor per child was set at $120. Gradually, that was increased during the past 22 years. Currently, the annual contribution per child by the sponsor is $225.
A year.
A year. 200 of which is paid in cash in Armenian currency to the child or the mother or the family member of the child. The other $25 is spent for general administrative costs, including transportation expenses of various charitable goods that we receive and distribute throughout our throughout Armenia.
So you're saying that any sponsor who wishes to pay $225 annually can become a sponsor of an orphan?
Of one orphan. But we have many sponsors who sponsor more than one. As a matter of fact, we have a sponsor who sponsors more than 15 children. And for many years now.
God bless them. So before I let you go, I would like to know, what are the expectations of the prelacy from the members, from our church people? How can our listeners participate in this program?
Okay, as I indicated a little while ago, we always have waiting lists. Twice a year, in every January and July, those children who reach the age of 18 are taking off the program, and new children taken from the waiting list are
admitted.
So, as I said, there were times when we used to enroll between 700 and 800 children in the program. Unfortunately, we don't have that many sponsors now. So we'll welcome and really be very happy to add as many sponsors as possible, because the need is there. We, on our waiting list, without exaggeration, we have more than 500 children waiting to be sponsored.
Very good. I know a large number of our parishioners are sponsors of orphans. And on top of that, our various auxiliary bodies do also sponsor orphans. And through this program, I would encourage my listeners to consider sponsoring a kid, because $225 will help to put a smile on an orphan's face, and it is something that we can easily do. $225 a year to sponsor an orphan. Dr. Ogasyan, thank you very much for stopping by today, and thank you very much for the information that you gave.
Thank you, Derek, for giving me this opportunity.
Let's do the gospel reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week on the podcast. Today's reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 9, verses 44 through 48. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Listen carefully to what I am about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men." But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them, so that they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. Then he said to them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is least among you all, he is the greatest." The Word of God. In today's reading, we hear our Lord Jesus foretelling his imminent future about his betrayal and his crucifixion. But it looks like the disciples do not understand what he talks about. It seems like for the disciples, Jesus is an earthly leader. They are concerned about the kingdom that he is about to establish. And even when he dies, they want someone to replace him. They want their places in that kingdom. But Jesus explains that his kingdom is not an earthly kingdom in a very unique way. He brings a child and he puts that child in the middle of the disciples, and he says, "Whoever welcomes a child in my name welcomes me." A child back in the day did not have the same value as a child that has today. I know as a parent, my children are everything for me. Our schedules revolve around them. Everything we do for the welfare of our children. But the case was different back in the day. Children were looked at as incapable little people, and they value added as they grew up and did more for the welfare of the society. And Jesus took that little child and said, "Whoever welcomes a child in my name welcomes me." I think Jesus is teaching a great lesson in humility. We don't need to hear the word of God only from great leaders to start believing in God. We only need to open our hearts to accept the word of God. I hope that today, as we reflect on this reading, we will open our hearts and welcome Jesus to live in our hearts and to establish his kingdom in our hearts and also in our families. Today we'll be listening to a hymn that we usually listen to during the sacrament of the wedding in the Armenian church. The hymn is called Urachler, which means "Rejoice, Holy Church." This hymn is performed by Isabel Bayraktarian in her CD, Joyous Light. I hope you will enjoy listening to this hymn. I will be back next week with another episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I pray that the peace of the Lord will be in your hearts. I would like to thank my producer, Greg Doster, for producing another great episode. See you next week.